You're on the journey home. We're live in the studios of Santa Fe Public Radio. Good to have you along with us today up and down the Rio Grande Valley. Now on to our next guest. Most people have a vision for their lives that they're not pursuing, or half-heartedly pursuing, or just pursuing with all their might, yet somehow they fall short. This vision can be modest or grand. It might involve breaking free of a destructive habit or finding a truly healthy relationship. It might have to do with making a real difference in the world or helping to lead a company to extraordinary success. Right now, Rafael Kushner joins us, and he's going to help us understand a little bit about why emotions are so important. And his book is entitled The One Thing Holding You Back. I've always wondered what it was. Now I'm found out. And the subtitle, Unleashing the Power of Emotional Connection. Rafael, thank you for joining us today here on The Journey Home. How are you?
I'm great. It's great to be with you. Thanks for having me.
My pleasure. So the power of emotional connection. We've always been taught that emotions are something that can often get in the way of rational thinking. And, that doesn't seem like the whole picture, and it's certainly something you don't agree with. Why not?
Well, I think that an emotion is a message from your brain that's delivered in your body as a physical sensation, and it needs you to get the message. And the message is actually the visceral feeling itself. And when you get that message, the emotion dissipates. That's how it's supposed to work. When you won't feel that feeling, all kinds of havoc ensues and all kinds of blocks and other problems. So it's not that there's a war between thinking and feeling. What I recommend and what contemporary neuroscience demonstrates is that for the best possible thinking, problem solving, and achievement, you want to feel first and then apply your rational thinking. Otherwise, you'll think you're trying to solve your problem, and in fact, you'll be sure of it, but what you'll really be doing is just using your thoughts to get rid of your feelings. And even when you try that, and even when you think you're successful at that, they don't go anywhere. They just get stronger and stronger until finally you give in and say, all right, already, I'll feel this.
Uh-huh. So it's important, as I understand it, that you actually go deeper into your emotions to find out what they're trying to tell you. But it's not something that you can analyze intellectually, though, is it?
Right. That's what I mean when I say that the message is the sensation. So a lot of times people make the mistake of thinking, okay, I've got this emotion. I feel sad, so I want to feel that feeling so I can understand the meaning of it. And meaning comes after you experience the feeling. And if you try to determine the meaning of an emotion before you actually let yourself feel it, you'll never get the right answer. So going deeper into the emotion, as you describe, means what I call surfing, where you place your attention on the sensation of the emotion and you ride it from an experience of discomfort through one that opens you up and centers you and harmonizes your brain and allows you to be more open and peaceful. That's what you got to do first, and then the meanings that come are the reliable ones.
So you're basically telling people that in order to benefit from the experience of the emotion, you have to, in a sense, feel the pain or the discomfort.
Yes, you know, the great poet Robert Frost once said, the best way out is always through. And that's definitely the truth when it comes to emotions. People make an instinctive choice not to feel something painful, and it works short term. Or maybe they can bring in the reinforcements of an addiction or a compulsion to make it work a little bit longer. But ultimately, if it doesn't kill you, that feeling's got to come out. Eventually, it's got to be felt. And what I'm suggesting is if you feel it as soon as possible and as fully as possible, it will hurt the least, and you also create the optimum internal environment for that emotion to move through you as quickly as possible.
Now, you say basically that it's holding us back. The unfelt, unfully realized emotions are somehow in opposition with the rest of our beingness. You write basically that the central message of the book is that to whatever degree you aren't living your dreams, it's because of key emotions related to those dreams that you're not yet able to find and feel. Once you're able, those dreams will begin to come true in one form or another. And that's a pretty bold claim.
Yeah, and to be really specific, it's the resistance to emotions that is what holds us back. So, for instance, I had a client who wanted to write the great American novel, and he had his laptop set up in a perfect corner of the house, and he set apart time every day that he could write, and he would just walk past that computer nightly with one excuse or another. And when we started working together, what we found is that his worst-case scenario regarding writing was that he would write his great novel, and then he would give it to everyone he respects to read, and they would think that it was, you know, the worst thing in the world, and he would be totally humiliated. And so in his case, his resistance to humiliation was the thing holding him back from writing. So we worked together to create a scenario in which he would actually have to feel a little bit of humiliation. And in the course of doing that, he trained his brain to realize that humiliation wasn't a fate worse than death. It was just kind of a passing internal weather. And as he did that, he removed the one thing holding him back, which then allowed him to start sitting down regularly and writing. So in everyone's case, whether it's about a specific goal like writing, or as you mentioned earlier about relationships, with a little time and effort, we can find out what emotions we've been resisting, and once we start feeling those, everything absolutely does start to change.
Well, it sounds easy, but our whole society trains people, especially men, to hold back on their emotions because they can get in the way of guys doing their job, especially if they have difficult jobs and they're dealing with life-threatening situations, like they're a soldier or a policeman or something like that, or a prison guard. How do we get past the cultural barriers that basically block us from even recognizing our emotions?
Well, first I want to share with you that I completely understand the point that you're making, and even the societal point. There are many times and situations where it's not appropriate to stop and get vulnerable to our emotions. Some of the jobs that you mentioned would be perfect examples. But that's where not now, later is the appropriate response, because when you have those emotions arise, they don't go away even if you choose not to feel them at the moment. So I've done lots of work with people like district attorneys who say there's no place for emotion in the courtroom, but if they are building up a backlog of emotion consistently, they've got to find some time, whether it's every evening or every week, to discharge those emotions, to really feel them, or they're just going to burn out. And I think you see that all over. But to your specific question about how we can get past that societal bias, I guess the good news is that this emotional connection I'm talking about is an inside job, meaning nobody has to know you're doing it. You don't have to do it around other people. And it's not about being a person who emotes. You know, many people, especially men, are afraid of becoming, you know, seen as wimps or something like that. All of a sudden, you know, either having to beat their fists like the men's movement from the 80s, or having to be weepy like, you know, women sometimes are and that men are uncomfortable with. This process of surfing your emotions that I'm describing happens inside of you, and it often doesn't require any emotional expression at all. It's just a combination of your attention connected to the feeling that you're having. And often, when you are able to do that, you eliminate all of the stress that comes afterwards, and even all of that expression that you didn't mean. In other words, if you can connect to anger inside of you as a wave, you don't necessarily have to discharge it by yelling at your kids or your loved one and creating more problems. So I try to let people see that connecting to their emotions in this way is, in fact, the most common thing that you can do.
It's the most common thing you can do.
Common sense thing you can do.
You say that unfelt emotions bring into your life the people and situations that force you to feel what you previously resisted. And I've seen this all the time in my own life, that we somehow attract the people to us that bring stuff up, and we think that they're our worst enemies, or we get into conflicts, and it seems like it's the worst thing in the world. But actually, once you go through the whole thing, you realize that, I don't know how life works, but somehow it seems like they were sent there for a purpose, and that purpose was to push your buttons. So how do we get under our buttons and find out what those buttons represent?
Right, and that'll keep happening until you actually turn it around, as you just mentioned. And, you know, I used to think that it was a great kind of cosmic mystery or joke that, you know, wow, that same relationship keeps coming back again, or that same boss keeps coming back again, until I understood how logical that was. Because when you have an emotion that you won't feel, as I mentioned before, it goes underground inside of you, and it keeps trying to get your attention. And one of the best ways it has to get your attention is to bring into your life people and situations who will recreate it for you. So let's just pause and put a real emphasis on that. The cause, from my experience and understanding, of these negative patterns or repeating circumstances that are challenging for us, the cause is the unfelt emotions inside of us. So when we use the next encounter, as you were just suggesting, finally to say yes to that emotion and to surf it through us, then the magnet that has been drawing that uncomfortable person or situation no longer has the same power. And even if another person shows up with those same characteristics and we feel a little pull towards that again, we still have renewed awareness, and we feel like now we can make a choice instead of it being something that the fates have delivered to us.
Mm-hmm. And just as a side note here, I wonder how much of our disease and stress-induced illness is caused by the unfelt, the unrealized emotions that have been blocked and not connected.
Well, I actually don't even think that's a side question. I think that's a main question, and the answer has to be a lot, because unfelt emotions create stress, and everybody knows stress is the biggest killer. But there's even another part of that, which is that those emotions, as I mentioned, will keep trying to get your attention. Well, the harder that you push them down, the harder they push back. And what happens over time is that your life energy gets sapped into having to keep that lid on so tightly. And so many, many people who are diagnosed with depression have the experience of actually depressing. That pushing down of the emotions is what's causing their lethargy, their upset. And once they start connecting to the emotions, they find that their life energy, their vitality, their enthusiasm returns.
We're talking to Raphael Kushner on The Journey Home. His book is called The One Thing Holding You Back, Unleashing the Power of Emotional Connection. We've got just a little bit left, and I wanted to ask you a little bit about how this has related in your work to relationships. Can you give us a very, very brief story?
Well, I guess what I can share with you briefly is that resistance between two people
mm-hmm.
is like a tug of war on a runaway train. What I mean by that is that if my partner can feel my resistance, she's going to get resistant in return. And then even if we started talking about how come you didn't pick up that, you know, spill on the table, you know, 5 minutes later it's going to be, this is never going to work. And we find ourselves way far away from where we want to be. And that's the power of resistance between two people. And that's why I suggest that whenever two people are having a disagreement and you notice that you are triggered, that button that you're talking about before gets pushed, the best thing you can do is stop right there, because you have to see that nothing positive can happen in discussion when you're in resistance. So the best way I suggest to do that is to turn to the person who you're having this disagreement with and saying, wait, stop for a second. I just have to tell you, my heart is pounding in my chest. You know?
Yeah,
and if we do that, and if they say, good, you should feel that way, well, then we know we have bigger problems.
Raphael, we got to leave it there. Thanks for joining us today on The Journey Home. The website, emotionalconnection.org. Tomorrow on The Journey Home, Lieutenant General Robert Gard on the nonproliferation and what that means to our new foreign policy. That's tomorrow on The Journey Home.